In an age of treachery and peril, a young thief may be the prophesied savior or the betrayer of the world. Fortress Draconis by Michael A. Stackpole. A quarter century previous, an elven seer spoke the Norrington prophecy. A Norrington to lead them, immortal, washed in fire, victorious from sea to ice. Power of the North he will shatter, the scourge he will kill. Then Vorquellen will redeem. For 25 years, the world has awaited a hero, and now the world's fate rests in the hands of a nimble-fingered young thief.
Fortress Draconis, Chapter 3. Resolute and Crow led the way up the stairs and along a corridor to a room at the back corner of the inn. The rain beat a steady tattoo on the tile roof, which Will didn't find unusual. The fact that the roof didn't leak did surprise him, however, as did the size of the room. It fit a big bed and a chest of drawers, with a little side table and spindly chair in the corner. A candle burned on the table, and one of the chairs creaked mightily as Resolute sat in it. Crow hung the wet cloaks up on the pegs behind the door and then nodded toward the bed. "Go ahead, Will. Strip those wet clothes and wrap yourself in a sheet. We can't have you catching a cough." Will, having been raised in a pack of urchins, didn't suffer from modesty. Wet clothes flew in all directions, leaving him naked. When a gentle knocking came to the door, Crow answered it, and Will smiled at Charity through the opening. The Vorquelf blushed and turned her head, handing Crow a neatly folded parcel of clothes. Crow thanked her and closed the door behind her. He tossed the clothes onto the bed. "There you go. You want to get dressed." Will, holding the leaf bag in his hands, blinked and looked up. "But it's time for sleeping, right?" Resolute snorted. "Not going to be getting much sleep tonight, boy. Get dressed." Crow had crossed to the window at the rear of the inn. "Looks clear." Sitting on the bed, Will pulled on some oversized trousers. "I don't understand. You told Amends..." The man stretched. "Amends does not understand much about our kind, Will, and accepts that the white of my hair and beard means I might as well reside in a grave. It's useful to let him and others assume I'm capable of a bit less than I am." "We told Amends what we wanted to hear, boy." The Vorquelf tossed Crow his cloak. "By now the story is circulating that we found you and that we'll be leaving tomorrow. In the morning this place will be filthy with people. They'll be here to see you. Most of them will want you to succeed. A few won't. And a couple will want you dead." Crow shrugged his cloak on. "Not sure about that last, Resolute." The Vorquelf scratched at the back of his head with a big scarred hand. "You know there are those who think we're fools, the two of us. They think we might anger the enemy, that appeasing her by informing on us might be the quick way to get Vorquellen back." Will pulled a dry woolen tunic on. "What are you talking about?" Verquelf's lip curled up in a snarl. "What do you know of the world, boy?"
"I know a lot."
"Tell me." Will hesitated for a second, then looked over at Crow, who gave him a reassuring nod. "Well, I know that Augustus is king because he beat Katrine's army a long time ago. That's where he found Queen Yelena. And I know the Vorks don't have a home because Katrine kicked them off it. And I know all about the Azure Spider and how he stole the heart of the Ronan pirate queen, Viona. And, I mean, I know more about him, but that's one of the best stories I know. And I know that the smith down on the South Street is carrying on with the wife of the baker on Sparrow Road." Resolute's head came up and his expression softened. "That's it? That's all you know?" He swung his left fist around and slammed it into a wall, cracking the plaster. "It's impossible, Crow, if he's the one..." "Calm yourself, my friend. You know as well as I do that neither of us knew the Azure Spider was on Rona." The man laid a hand on Resolute's shoulder and smiled. "If Will's the one, it's our job to educate him. Crow, in another lifetime, I couldn't teach him enough." "It's not that dire, Resolute." Crow looked over at Will. "What do you know of the Silencieri?" The youth shivered. "Everyone knows about them. Everyone thought they were heroes, but that's not true. They wanted to have King Augustus use his army to take over the world, but he chased them off, all 10 of them, the treacherous dogs. They ran away and went to Katrine and fed her their souls. She gave them magical powers and everything. They're led by the Norringtons, father and son, just as they were led back in the time of the war. All of them are there except the one who betrayed them." Verquelf nodded slowly. "Do you know their names?" "Heard a couple, maybe. Ganagray, Nefre Kesh, he leads them. Not good to mention them, because you might bring them." Crow nodded. "It's wise to be cautious." Well, I'm wiser than they were, that's for sure, Will snorted. The traitor Hawkins was his name. He's the one who talked them into leaving Augustus. He fooled them all, you know. He lured them north, sabotaged their mission, and he lost his nerve when he met Katrine, and she wanted to reward him for his work. He ran away, then tried to cover up for his evil. King Augustus once called him a friend, but he banished him. I heard a story that he threw himself in the Crescent Sea, killing himself before the others could hunt him down. He served Tagothja, shooting harpoons into ships with a magic bow, dragging them down. The youth smiled. I bet he killed himself because you two were hunting him. He knew he couldn't escape justice, right? Crow's face closed, and Resolute's fist hit the wall again, but not as hard. Still, little bits of plaster rattled to the floor. Both of them seemed numb by what he just told them. The ferocity they'd showed in combat, the confidence they'd displayed talking to Amenz, had drained away. Crow suddenly looked old, the fire in his eyes dulled. Was I wrong? Resolute's eyes had widened in a sort of dismay a child experiences when a cherished myth is exploded. Will shivered. You asked. I told you, but you asked. Crow recovered himself first and nodded slowly, kept his voice even and warm, despite the little bit of a quiver that echoed through his words. You should understand, Will, that Resolute and I lived during the time of the last war with Katrine. What you've told us does not match our memories. For the past quarter century, we've been looking for a way to fulfill a prophecy and defeat Katrine. We've been so focused on what we were doing, we missed how the history has changed. What do you mean it's changed? Katrine is this evil woman who wants to take over everything. The youth frowned. She has all these monsters fighting for her, in the Solan Siri, of course, and weapons like dragonels. The other armies didn't kill her because she ran from King Augustus, and she's been waiting to avenge herself. But you know that because you're heroes. You two stop her. I've heard your stories sung by lots of minstrels. Resolute growled as his eyes narrowed. A song is entertainment, boy, not a recitation of facts. It might make us heroes here in the dim, but that means nothing in Hightown or the rest of the world. What I told you isn't right. History's a mosaic, boy. Bits of the truth mixed with lies. Lies people had to tell so they wouldn't be afraid. Resolute rubbed at his fist, brushing plaster dust from it. Augustus did defeat an army and win a queen. That's true. The rest of it, though, wishful thinking. Will picked up the leaf bag and rubbed it. What does that history have to do with me? Why would someone want to kill me? Crow held up a hand to forestall Resolute's comment. There are some things we cannot tell you, Will, until we know you need to hear them. It could be you're just a thief who stole a leaf. The youth smiled. Just a thief who stole a leaf. I like that rhyme. The man chuckled a bit. No surprise there, I think. If you are the person we hope you are, then we will eventually be able to explain everything to you. If you're not, a chance comment could doom the person who is the one we want. Do you understand? I think so. Will nodded and shoved his feet back into wet boots. It's like the story of the twin princes. They couldn't let the one who'd been raised away from the castle know who he was because folks wanted to kill him. His head came up. You're not saying that I'm a prince or anything, are you? Resolute laughed aloud, with just a hint of cruelty. You're no prince, boy, not in the least. Oh. Will suspected they might be lying to him, but he also decided not to let them know. He shrugged his shoulders and stood, wincing at the squishiness of his boots. Just as well, since a prince will get soaked in the rain as well as a thief, but a thief can tolerate it. Through the window and out across the rooftop they went in the rain and dead of night. For an old man and a big bork, the two of them moved pretty well. Will followed the path they picked out, primarily because his knee was still tender enough to make the more demanding route he would have chosen a bit dangerous. He wasn't so much worried about hurting himself as he was about damaging the leaf, which surprised him. They descended to the streets and reached a stable where three horses were quickly saddled. Grain and other supplies were loaded on six more horses, then all of them were led out in a string behind Resolute's horse. Will ended up riding a brown gelding, which seemed to be a docile creature. Will had no complaints about that, because the last time he'd tried to ride a horse, the owner had arrived before he'd gotten away, and the beast had reared, tossing Will off. Limping back to Marcus had not been any fun. Crow took the reins of Will's horse and led it along through the city. The rain slackened to a drizzle, and mist began to crawl through the streets. They skirted the southern edge of the Dimmen Downs and left the city through the western gate. The guards there barely roused themselves to watch them pass. Resolute flipped them gold coin lullabies to encourage their return to sleep and forgetting about the trio's passage. They rode west for a while, but with the clouds so thick and black, Will could not mark time by the moon's passage. He only knew that they'd gone a long way when they headed off toward the northwest, along a track through hills of tree stumps. In a little valley, they stopped at an abandoned woodsman's hovel and stabled the horses in a cave dug into the hillside. His two companions saw to the horses, so Will entered the cabin and found a dry patch of floor to curl up on. A little flutter of fear ran through him, but the warmth pulsating from the leaf bag kept his worries at bay. Quickly enough, he surrendered to a full belly and exhaustion, dreaming of great adventures that evaporated by the time he wakened. Morning came bright, and Will rose with the speed of the sun. Lazily wiping sleep sand from his eyes, he stepped over Crow's sleeping form and wandered out into the daylight. He found Resolute's snarling whispered curses in Elvish, crouched near the cabin. In a field before it, rabbits gambolled amid stumps. They twitched their ears and wrinkled their noses, grazing 10 yards away from the cabin, and a yard away from some contraption set in the field. Will frowned. What's that thing? Resolute frowned. It's a deadfall trap that should catch us breakfast.
A rabbit? You can eat them?
Poor Quelf arched an eyebrow. You've never... Will shook his head. Supposed to taste like cat. He squatted down and figured some rocks in the dry soil at the cabin's entrance. Why don't you just kill one?
That's what the snare is for, boy. Keep your voice down. You don't want to scare them off.
The youth snorted, then whispered.
Ain't my voice keeps them away. It's that thing you made.
He hefted a dark stone. Me, I'd just throw a rock at it.
Would you? Well then, how about an easy target?
Resolute pointed off at a plump rabbit.
That one, with the white blaze.
Before the Vorquel finished his sentence, Will shifted his stance, dropping to his right knee a lot faster than he should have. He whipped his right hand forward, sidearming the stone. It whizzed through the air, clipping the rabbit in the side of the head. The creature flopped over on its flank and twitched, but before it stopped, Resolute had darted forward, snatched it up, and wrung its neck. Will clenched his teeth against the pain in his knee, determined not to show Resolute any weakness. He was paying the price for showing off, and was damn glad the rocket actually hit its target. If I'd missed. The Vorquelf glanced at him, then nodded. Nice throw. Will shrugged and rose slowly. Bigger than most rats, anyway. Hope it's better eating. It will be. Resolute jerked a thumb at the field. Once you collect up some firewood, we can cook it.
But I got the rabbit.
True, but getting breakfast wasn't your job. Gathering firewood is.
But you never told me.
You never asked. Resolute stooped and drew a knife from his boot top. Won't take me long to skin and prepare it. Once you get firewood and some water, we'll be ready for breakfast.
Will frowned. Why is that my...
Out here, boy, there are things I can do that you cannot. If I'm doing your chores, I can't do mine. Resolute tossed him a flaccid water skin. You want me doing my chores around here. Now get the firewood and mind the frost claws.
Frost claws?
Will's eyes narrowed. There aren't any frost claws around here. They're all up north. I'm not a child that you can scare with such stories.
No? Come here, little boy.
Resolute led him around the side of the cabin, toward the cave where their horses had been kept, and squatted down and stabbed the point of a knife into the ground. See this track here? The youth came over and lowered himself onto his left knee. The Vorquelf pointed to a trio of parallel lines, with the centermost a bit longer and thicker than the other two. The lines weren't terribly distinct. Just shallow marks in the dirt.
That's a frostclaw track? It's not much.
You've lived your life on cobblestones, so now you learn something. The Vorquelf pointed back along the path Will had taken to reach his side. See your boot print? See how crisp the heel mark is? The ground is still moist from the rain. As that print dries out, the edges will crumble, and the wind will erode it. If the rain comes again, it'll melt the edges, leaving your heel print just a shallow oval in the dirt. The rain melted the edges of these marks. They're likely less than a week old.
But Frostclaws can't be here. King Augustus, he made sure that wouldn't happen.
Will shivered and suddenly realized he was well away from the city where he'd grown up. He was out and exposed, and there were horrible things in the wild that he wanted nothing to do with.
Boy, the world you know is a mosaic, remember? Some pieces are true. Augustus did make the world safe for a while. He kept Katrine back for a while. Over the years, she's gotten stronger, bolder. She sends Frostclaws, Vilanes, and Gibberers this far south, testing, probing, searching, and scouting. She'll be coming, and soon. Resolute stood and with one swift night stroke gutted the rabbit. Augustus bought the world a generation in which to prepare for her to come back. If you're any example of what's waiting for her, the time has been utterly squandered.
Fortress Draconis is copyright 2001 by Michael A. Stackpole and is read by the author. To learn more about him and his work, please visit his website at www.stormwolf.com. This book is available from fine booksellers worldwide. This podcast was produced by Jamie Jordan and is hosted by CatAlley.com. The theme music is an original composition by Nuada and is used with permission. The podcast is copyright 2007 by Michael A. Stackpole. Please join us again for the next exciting chapter of Fortress Draconis.